Rob Oakeshott says that this is an example of astroturfing. Can you explain what he means by that?
Look, I think what he's meaning is that this is, in fact, misleading, or what he's alleging anyway is that this is misleading. People see this as independent news and current affairs presented through a newspaper. In fact, that's an illusion, and in fact, it's political propaganda or political pamphleteering, whatever you want to call it. And in that way, you know, people are being misled. You know, it's a little bit like greenwashing, you know, where people pretend that something is environmentally sound when really they're just sort of covering for other environmental problems. So, you know, I think what he's saying is that the most important point, I think, that he is making is that he thinks this is seriously misleading and that it's not in any sense independent.
But according to the Press Council, General Principle 6 about transparent and fair presentation, it says that publications are free to advocate their own views and publish the bylined opinions of others as long as readers can recognise what is fact and what is opinion. How do you apply those principles to this scenario?
Well, look, I think first of all, reporting the facts or reporting, you know, the news really requires that people apply a code of ethics. And that code of ethics means that they consider a range of viewpoints, that they are open to all facts, even those that don't suit them, and that they, you know, have certain procedures, certain ethics for the way they go about reporting. Now, that is quite different. I mean, at the same time, of course, you can publish opinion, and every day the press does that. But in this paper, from what I can see from where I am, and I am in Sydney, but I have been online and looked at it, I don't really see that there's very much out there reporting the news, interviewing people, looking at the opposite viewpoint. There doesn't seem to be, say, compared with the other newspaper up there, the Port Macquarie News, which is quite an old newspaper, of course, and I guess got more resources, but there's a much wider range of stories. You'd expect, you know, an all-round approach. Now, I think anyone is free to set up a newspaper, and I think that's really important, and no one should think otherwise. But I think that if you really, what you're really doing is in fact setting up a political newspaper, which is in a sense political propaganda, well then just people need to be very aware of the difference. I don't think that we should regulate to stop people doing what's happening here. I really think that is, you know, part of a democracy is that you have to be able to do what you want to do. But this is not journalism according to the code of ethics which is used by professional journalists, which can, of course, be used by other people too.
Wendy, one of the criticisms of the paper in its early days was that there were no bylines and that the editor was not named. That has now changed, but how significant a problem is that?
Look, I think it's quite a big problem, and I think this is one of the problems with our whole media sort of set up at the moment, our whole media regulation. I think that it would be a quite reasonable thing to do to say that publications should publish, just as when you print something you have to say who's printing it, that you should be transparent about who you are. Now, it turns out, in fact, that the person who is the editor had close connections with one of the members for the National Party. Now, I won't go into the details of that, but clearly, you know, in the context of an election, for example, that could be really misleading, and even potentially it should have been labelled as election material. Now, I'm not saying that is the case here, but I'm saying these are the sort of issues that are raised. And even now, you know, when you go onto it, onto the website, personally, I don't find it to be very transparent. Now, I think that should apply to other media too. I think generally in Australia, we're really lacking resources at the moment for the average citizen out there to be able to find out, well, okay, this is the newspaper in my area. Who owns it? What is the company? And who are they connected with? And I really would like to see more transparency. And I think perhaps this situation has highlighted that.
The manager of the paper says that the paper reflects how the community is feeling. He says it's not a partisan document. But during the election campaign, the paper was being delivered to the ABC in a vehicle that was covered in National Party signage. What are the requirements of a publication when it comes to being independent and non-partisan?
Well, Well, you're talking about their electioneering, I think, and that goes back to the other question of whether if you're really delivering election material, you have to label it in certain ways. And, you know, a lot of attention in New South Wales has gone into reforming those laws, and that raises separate issues. But in terms of then the news, well, I think that, of course, if it's, you know, if something is something connected to the National Party, well, it should be labelled that way. But it is possible that somebody might leave the National Party and set up a newspaper. But if they edit it, and if that is the line they're pushing, they're quite, I think, entitled to do that. If we take it, perhaps another example, step aside from that one, let's take, say, if Julia Gillard, the Prime Minister, someone who's her press secretary, decides to leave her office and set up a newspaper tomorrow. And that newspaper very strongly reflects Julia Gillard's views. Well, people really should take that with a grain of salt. It's really another form of political propaganda. It's not against the law, but it really is not journalism in an all-round professional sense. And I think that what's important here is that people need to have their eyes open, and that people need to have the information about how journalism works. I think perhaps we should do a better job in getting the message out there, so people perhaps are less likely to fall for what can be, I think I would agree with Rob Oakeshott there, a political trick.
In this case, the paper commissioned an independent organisation to conduct research on community sentiment around issues like the carbon tax and poker machine reform. The paper have defended this, and they say the poll results and the article about the poll are simply a reflection of community sentiment. Let's just talk about polls for a moment, because there is a real reliance on them for the news at the moment. How newsworthy do you think they are, and how much a reflection of true community sentiment are they?
Well, I think, first of all, there needs to be a lot more scrutiny of polls as well. I mean, at the moment, they go to everything from people putting on their website, you know, we're doing a poll on this, and I think people know that is not real polling. That's almost like a game competing to kind of see who can get the most votes, through to very professional polling. Now, this poll, I think, was of... These polls have been quite small polls. To really be able to know how legitimate that poll is, you would really need to know a lot more about the methodology that was behind it. And this wouldn't be the only poll where I think the numbers are fairly small and you could raise questions about it. Now, in this case, I obviously haven't got the material in front of me to be able to do that. But polls have sort of been used as an excuse, I think, for news gathering. I mean, there are so many issues out there that the community needs to be informed about. And I really think it can become an excuse. It sort of is creating the news instead of going out and finding out what's going on in the community. And it's also a way of engineering opinion, because the whole idea that, you know, the community out there thinks something and we're just going out to find out what they think. In fact, of course, I think most people understand that the media also creates opinion. It builds opinion. So there's a two-way process going on there. And to think that, you know, it's just a question of, you know, the community's out there and the news is there and it's completely neutral is really, I think, quite, you know, just not sustainable in today's society.
Wendy, just finally, what is the difference between, say, a publication to take a particular editorial stance versus someone on commercial radio, for instance?
Well, there isn't any difference. And if commercial radio or newspapers just come down to that, of course, anyone can take an editorial stance, anyone can write an opinion piece. But if that becomes colours everything else that's happening at the newspaper, including the news gathering techniques, or in some cases almost obliterates those news gathering, the sort of general all-round news, which is guided by principles of accuracy, fairness, not suppressing the truth, unless there is a strong body of that alongside that editorial opinion, well, it's really not a newspaper in the sense that most people expect to have a newspaper. And that goes for radio as well. And that's why, you know, some of the forms of talkback radio now really are ways of just sort of pushing opinion out there. And people also need to be wary. I mean, they may choose to look at a newspaper that is, in effect, political propaganda because it reinforces their views and makes them feel good. But they need to be sort of aware that they're not actually opening themselves to any other information that could counter those views.